Hello, you are listening to the Bethel Atlanta Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.
All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Good? Awesome. All right. Well, as you heard, we just got back from Reading last night, and the Lord arranged things in such a way that we would be at a three-hour difference time zone, and that we would arrive on the very day that yet another would be hour would be added to that, maximizing the destruction of my mental capacities for today. So, therefore, probably making more room for the presence of God, which is a good thing. I'd like to, just as Lauren said, you know, when it's you know, if you didn't notice on the way in, the name of this place is Bethel, Atlanta, and I didn't know if you know, but we're part of a family, and when you're part of a family, you're part of a history, and it's important when you're part of a family to know that you belong in that family, and that that history and that story belongs to you. Yeah? Now, how many of you are in a family or have been at some point? Okay. And how many of you, maybe you don't need to raise your hands for this part, have at some point felt like you weren't necessarily receiving all the benefits of that family, or you didn't know what that looked like, or you felt like maybe your brother or your sister or someone else was like getting more of those benefits or something like that? Anyone ever have a feeling like that at any point in their life? It's a good grumbling sound because it's good. Good. Use that in a movie. But today I feel like the Lord wants to position us for a time of impartation. And I want to just take a little bit of time to talk about what impartation is, because I wanted to invite you guys to position your hearts to receive what God has for you today. Does that make sense? And the main thing I want to emphasize is the way that we choose to position our hearts will affect not only what we receive, but what the person next to us does as well. You know, in the New Testament, there's several parts that talk about this experience that people had. You know, Paul and the apostles, they would travel around, they'd visit these churches, they'd connect with them, and they'd impart things, they'd leave things with one another. In Romans 1, chapters 11 and 12, it says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, what we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." That there would be this exchange, this thing that happens when we get in the same room, where we make an exchange of grace one to another. Yeah? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, of power, but of love and self-control." It's talking about encouraging yourself, reminding yourself of an impartation that you received, to raise that up, to stoke that flame, to remember that that was something meaningful that happened. Does that make sense to you guys? Are we doing good? Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." Remember the impartation that you were given. I just want to take just a couple of minutes to just share about what impartation is and what it looks like. But first, I want to just draw a picture of how you guys are invited into this. How many of you were here a few months ago when I shared a word about honor? Okay. I'm going to share that story one more time just briefly. And even if the story is familiar to you, I want you to open up your heart, because I feel like today that word is connected to what God wants to do. Some years ago, I was working in North Atlanta, and I was on my way driving up to go there, and I was here at Bethel Atlanta, was still somewhat in the early days of the church, and as I was driving up, all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of, you know, going up 85, 75, and I have this open vision. And when you're driving, that's an inconvenient time to have an open vision. And again, like, this doesn't always happen to me. In fact, this is one of maybe just a handful of times that this has happened to me. But I literally couldn't see anything other than what this vision was. Like, it was as if it covered my vision completely. I could feel the steering wheel under my hands. I could just feel the car seat under my that. But all I could see was this vision that the Lord was showing me. And so as I saw this, I figured, okay, I guess he's probably got the me not crashing part covered, hopefully. And so in this vision, I was driving in Atlanta, and then all of a sudden I was standing on top of one of the skyscrapers up there. And as I was up there, I saw this angel standing at the edge of one of the, she found her, okay, good. So I saw this angel standing on the edge of this building, and as soon as I kind of made eye contact with this angel, I saw him lean forward, and he fell down the front of the building, and I knew I was supposed to follow him. And again, I knew this was a vision, but I still felt this kind of sense of nervousness because I'm like, this is very high. But there was no easy other way to get off of the building, so I leaned forward in this vision, and I went down, and I saw in this vision this the building rushed past me, the pavement rushed up to meet me, but as soon as I came to the pavement, I passed through it like it was smoke. And as I went down, 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 I saw a stone, I saw pipes, I saw all these things go past, went deeper and deeper and deeper. And as I went deeper and deeper and deeper in this vision, I saw this light in the distance. And this light got bigger and bigger and bigger. It was this kind of bright, crystalline blue light. And as that light got bigger, it opened this kind of tunnel, if you will, as I was going down, opened up into this vast underground cave. And in this underground cave was this just this huge underground lake. It was, you know, if you've ever been in like an indoor football stadium or something like that, when you're inside one of those, it almost feels kind of odd, like it feels too big to be a building kind of thing. It feels too big to be indoors. And this was like that. This cave, it was so vast, it was so big that it felt strange that it was underground, that it was a contained space. And in it, again, was this vast crystalline blue lake that went on and on and on. And so I kind of slowed down, I landed on this outcropping of rock, and the angel was standing there on this rock as well. And it didn't say anything for a minute, and so after a pause, I said, what's up with this lake? And he said, this is the well of revival that's been appointed for this region. And so then I said, well, how do we get to it? Underground, like drills, or he didn't laugh at that either. I said, "How do we get it?" And he paused for a moment, and almost like he was kind of searching for the exact right word, like maybe there was a couple of different ways to say this same truth. He paused for a moment, and then he looked at me, and he said, "Learn how to honor." And then I was back in my car. And so last time I shared that word, I talked a little bit about what honor is and what it looks like and what the heart of it is. But today, I would like to talk about honor in the context of impartation. Because positioning yourself to receive an impartation is an act of honor. Not honoring a person, not honoring a movement even necessarily. It's good to honor people. We should all honor one another. It's good to honor a movement. It's good to hear testimonies and see what God's doing and honor that and recognize that and see that for what it is. But underneath those things, supporting those things, is that I recognize and honor the work of God, the presence of God, the hand of God in the lives of people around me. Does that make sense? That's what's at the bottom level of that honor thing. It's not, oh, that person's so amazing. Oh, it's not that movement is so amazing. Though we do want to honor people, we do want to honor movements. At the very bottom, it's I'm honoring the work of God, the hand of God, the presence of God in these people's lives. Just a couple of stories again, just to connect you with this space here. Honor can be a tricky thing because we've seen it abused, we've seen it misused, we've see honor be a thing where I am less and you are more, or something like that. You know, I'm not going to make you raise your hands for that. I know we've all experienced that. Honor, in my opinion, is directly connected to love. And Jesus told us that we should love others the way that we love ourselves. Yeah? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's an implicit connection between your ability to love yourself and to love someone else. And I would like to suggest that there is an implicit connection between your ability to honor what God is doing in your life and your ability to honor what God is doing in someone else's life. If we do not honor what God is doing in our life, in our history, in our story, in our family, in our past, our present, our future, it limits our ability to honor what he's doing in other people's lives. Does that make sense? And I say that this could feel like a little bit like a pull, but I say this because I walk this quite a lot myself. Sometimes we can go to an experience where we're hesitant to receive something, whether it be a minister or someone you read a book or you hear preach or something like that, because we have a hard time honoring that person or even seeing what's worthy of honoring that person's life. And I know none of you are experiencing that right now with me, of course. Unless it involves my hair. But there's lots of factors that go into a person and character and things like that. But it's important for us to recognize that oftentimes, and I found this to be true in my life, my ability, the places in which I have a hard time honoring some, and most often for me, have had to do with a lack of honor I've had for myself and who I am. Because I feel like them being honored makes me have less honor. Does that make sense? I know this can be kind of a heavy place to go before going to an impartation, but I feel like it was something that's important to do because it's important to recognize if we think less of ourselves, we're not able to receive an impartation to its fullest. Does that make sense? And sometimes I think the very thing that God confronts with an impartation is that we are worthy to carry something powerful and beautiful. And that is an empowering experience. It is a lifting up experience, but anyone who's experienced it knows it is also a very humbling experience because you realize and experience it is him, it is not you. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you guys, position your heart to receive an impartation and recognize, look for the Holy Spirit guiding you to acknowledge, have I honored what he's carrying me? Because if I know what I have that might be different than what this person is giving me right now is valuable, it equips me to receive what they have, to receive the benefits of what they have. Because what they carry showing up does not diminish what I have, it actually adds to it. It supports it. And I know that someday in the future, there'll be an opportunity for them to be in the position of receiving from me, and that they desperately need what I have as well. Does that make sense? If we don't know that, we'll have to keep this thing held up in our heart. You know what I mean? We'll have to protect our own value rather than knowing that the Lord has already done that because he already values us. Does that make sense? There's one other thing too. We're gonna invite the team up in just a little bit that went and received something. They're gonna pray for you guys, and I bet some things are gonna happen. You might feel something in your body, you might shake, you might fall down, some other people, not you, but some other people make some strange noises or something like that, you know? And I just want to encourage you that what you feel the Lord is doing inside you, I would encourage you to respond to that. That doesn't mean make something happen. That doesn't mean that, again, it's part of positioning yourself to receive. Like, I feel God doing something. What is a response to this? What is saying yes to what God is doing in a given moment? But I want to encourage you. I've had moments where I've been, you know, slain in the spirit or talked louder than this tone that you're hearing right now, you know, once or twice. I typically don't have a lot of external visual display of experiencing the presence of God. So sometimes we can make the mistake of thinking me receiving an impartation doesn't look like it does for this person over here, then that means I didn't receive anything. And I want to tell you that that is a lie from the enemy. I'm going to tell you one very quick story. Many years ago, I was in a meeting, and it was a meeting with a person that I was actually having a hard time honoring. I'm not going to say who it was, obviously, but They were a very exuberant sort of teacher. They were exuberant sort of Holy Spirit releasing sort of person. And honestly, I didn't love their style personally, you know. And in this ministry, this person went to this section and started towards the end of the meeting and started spraying in tongues. I mean, yeah. These lights don't hide anything, but started praying in tongues. And this entire section of the room fell over. It had everyone standing up. Came over to this section. This entire section of the room fell over. This entire section of the room fell over. Came over to this section, the section that I'm in. Everyone's standing up. Everyone falls over, except me. And as everyone falls down, and I am the one tree standing amongst the collapsed forest, I immediately think, oh no, I should have fallen. Just to even things out. And then I was like, I should fall now. I'm like, nope, it's too late. And I'm like, I will stand here with my eyes closed, hoping that this will be over soon. And that was my experience. There was even upper sections, and I heard them all falling down. I'm like, you and me are the only people standing right now. So I walked away from that, and in the years since that, I learned more about honor. I was able to recognize some of my stuff that was resistant to what this person was carrying, that wasn't sure about it. And in recognizing that, I could see, actually, man, maybe I didn't like that person's style. And honestly, when I think about that person's style, it's still not my favorite today. But it's more easy to look back and recognize that person was carrying something from God. And I do wish that I positioned my heart for honor that day. However, years after that, a friend of mine came to me with a very, very serious cancer diagnosis, and it sounded scary. And I invited me and others to pray for this person. And as some of you know, I shared this testimony a few times, but I have a painful story from my past where a friend of mine, when he was 17, passed away from leukemia, and there was a lot of faith in praying for him. And so losing a friend to cancer was a painful part of my history that, again, if I'm being honest, has made it difficult sometimes to build up that faith for someone who's struggling, especially when it's dire like that. And so, of course, I've always been faithful to pray and to do my best to adjust my heart to what I know God is ready to do, but it had been a struggle. And interestingly, as soon as this person came to me and asked for prayer, I immediately felt confidence that they were going to be healed. I say the background because I never feel that. I had never felt that up until that point, this confidence that they are going to be healed. I prayed for them. Others prayed for them. Within a week or two, we had a report that they were completely cancer-free. Yeah, which is awesome. Interestingly, the moment I got that message that this person was completely cancer-free, that I flashed that memory of that room where everyone else fell down and I didn't, and immediately the Holy Spirit said, that gift of faith is what you received on that day that you thought you received nothing. And so while you may not show any external sign or you might not even feel something inside of yourself, this is a place that is appropriate, I believe, to put your faith that God is doing something. Not faith that the person is powerful, not faith necessarily even in a movement, but faith that God is doing something, faith that God is releasing something, that he is activating something inside your heart. Does that make sense to you guys? The last thing I'll say is, I think just such, this is a simple truth, but so such an important part of walking with God is being willing to pursue understanding, but walk with a willingness to not understand. Does that make sense? I do believe in wisdom. I do believe in study. I do believe in things being built on a strong foundation. I do believe that every single one of us should be an avid student of this word. However, if we position ourselves to only receive from God that which we understand of him, we will limit our ability to receive everything that he has for us. Does that make sense? It's a tension that he walks without. It's all over the stories in this book, that there's this tension of knowing exactly what he's doing and not being really sure at all. You know, him doing things the way that he had taught us to do from the beginning, and then him doing things very, very differently and asking us to receive something differently. And so I just want to encourage you guys not to do something that you're uncomfortable with or anything like that, but just to position your heart to just respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Does that make sense? If he tells you to come up to the front, just come up to the front. If he tells you to say something out loud, then say it out loud. If he tells you I'll just tell this one last story. The first time I received an impartation, what I can tangibly point to as an impartation from the Holy Spirit, I was at a youth conference and people praying for me, and I had never been slain in the spirit, as they called it. up to that point, and I was in this tension of like, is this just a bunch of bogus, or do I want this and feel bad that I'm not experiencing this? And the person was going down, praying for people. People were falling down. I'm like, here we go. Okay, stiffen the legs, like resist it. No. Okay, let it happen. And it's kind of, you know, thinking this through very well, helping the Holy Spirit, you know. And the person touched me. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit land on me, and I heard the Holy Spirit ask me to fall down. And I thought, I would feel more convinced if I was, like, incapable of standing. That would be more helpful to me. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, but I asked you. And so I fell down. And then the next time it happened, I felt kind of awkward about that. I'm like, okay, was that just me? You know, all the wonderful questions that we give ourselves. The next time it happened, a prophet came to our environment, picked me out from the back, and he said, hey, you, take this. And then it felt like someone tased me, like, like full on, like zero muscle control, like, I hope I don't hit my head on the way down, like no, like stiff, you know, thing. It was... And so, you know, it happens different every time. The Holy Spirit might ask you, and I find often does, ask you to partner with what he's doing. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up here. And while they're coming up, I would love for the team that went to Reading to come line up here. So everyone who was in Reading with us just a little bit ago. You know, it's interesting, the tension between positioning our heart for faith, positioning our heart for expectation, but then not trying not to be presumptuous, you know, not to be like, okay, this is good. As we were going into this conference this weekend, I knew that God was going to do something. I knew that God was making a huge deposit in our team, and I knew that that deposit was also meant for you guys, for this whole church. And, you know, the weight of that expectation can kind of feel heavy, and you can look for, okay, what are the signs that that's true or that was met or any of those things. And, again, I would just encourage you guys and invite you to just, again, in the same way of that, walking that line between understanding and mystery, to just walk that line with the Holy Spirit of expectation and letting him do it the way that he wants to. Does that make sense to you guys? Last thing, too, is, Vanessa was unable to make it out with us, even though she was invited to come, because she had some responsibilities to her family. And one of the reasons that impartation is so important and why this concept is so important is because, by earthly measure, Vanessa could have missed out on something. By earthly measure. But part of the beauty and power of the kingdom, of impartation, of the reality of what this is that when it comes to the things of the kingdom, impartation creates an opportunity where no one would ever miss out on any part of God's kingdom. Because the second that you position your heart to receive something from someone, it is as if you were there. You receive the same authority, you receive the same breakthrough, you receive that same testimony. This is what Jesus demonstrated with his disciples. He prayed for them, he released an impartation to them, and they continued in the same kind of ministry that he had been doing. Yeah? This is what the apostles did afterwards. They went, they taught, they trained, they equipped, they imparted to people, and then more people continued in the same ministry style that Jesus did. Did those people miss out because they didn't get to walk with Jesus? My human measure says yes. But as we adjust to the kingdom values, we can recognize why Jesus would say that it's good that I should go, because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. That he actually understood the power of impartation. So I'm going to ask everybody in the crowd to stand up, and if worship team, if you want to start inviting the presence. Lord, we just invite your Spirit to come. We're not here just to position our hearts to honor a sacrifice that people made to go across the country to receive something to bring back here. We're not here just to honor a movement that we're a part of or a family that we're a part of, Lord. We're here to honor you. And Lord, before we go into this time of impartation, we just invite your Holy Spirit to just guide our heart, to position our heart. Lord, ask us Lord, we ask you, how shall we position our heart? How shall we position our heart, Lord?
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. To stay connected with Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.